for you who hasn't been here for a little bit. We've been going through Galatians. And in the whole book of Galatians, Paul has been telling us that Christians are not under the law. Now, I feel like there are those who hear that statement and then they want to criticize the Bible. You know, they want to say, oh, I guess Christians don't have to follow orders. They don't have to, they could do whatever they want, right? They're better than everybody else. They could get away with anything. People tend to not like things they don't understand because they want to criticize without having a clue what it actually means. And the whole question's been, under law or not under law, Paul is talking on how we were supposed to, or how we're supposed to not walk, right? How we're not supposed to trust in the law to save us. How we're not supposed to trust in ourselves, our own power to save us. You know, that's what Paul is talking about. And we finally get to a point in Galatians where he gets to tell us how we should walk. One foot in front of the other, right? Yeah. In Galatians 5, verse 16 through 18, Aiden? Back row Aiden? Or middle row Aiden? All right, so the flesh wants to do things by works. You know, it wants to be able to do things and to save itself by its own power. That's our flesh. It wants to be able to save itself by works. You know, if it wants to. You know, it wants to do this only if it's in its desire. You know, flesh wants to put all of our trust into things of the world. But to walk in the Spirit is to let Jesus guide us. You know, guide us through life, through the decisions of life, the hard, the bad, the good, everything, for Him to guide us on our path. When we accept Jesus into our lives, He gives us His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. You know, it's inside of us. That's why it mentions our body being a temple, because that's where Jesus dwells, inside of us. And it's there kind of as a moral compass. It's not like a conscience. It's a moral compass. You know, we know good and evil, but it's there to guide us in our life, to point us the way, the direction that God wants us to go. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, we're not under the law. Again, to some, it might be confusing. It's about putting your trust in God's Spirit to save us, not the works of man. You know, it's not about that we have to keep certain laws, or we have to be good enough in order to be truly saved. That's what it means, not under the law. It's not that we don't follow the law, or we don't, you know, try to keep rules, is that those rules are not saving us. You know, not being under the law it doesn't mean that we have a free license to sin, no more than the law has the power to save us. The law, the reason the law was given is to point us in the way to go. Point us to the fact that the flesh is weak and it will fail. And the only way we could be saved is through Jesus. John 14:6. Stephen, can you read that?
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father
So Jesus is the only way, right? There's no other. There's no side plan. It's not like I could be, oh, if I do this, I can make it. I have to believe in Jesus, and I have to put my full trust in him. That's what it means to believe, is your full trust in him. Not him plus something else. It's just him. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Cassia, can you read that? So Paul has just written about that every believer, about that the under the law or not in the law, walking in the flesh, you know, walking in the spirit, that every believer, there's a battle, you know, where the flesh and the spirit are against each other. You know, it's an internal, invisible battle. However, the results of that battle are outwardly. Right? They're an outwardly expression, and it is evident. Meaning that it's very clear, right? It's pretty clear, okay, these things are bad, right? Our actions, you know, clearly show that there's two paths we are walking. Paul gives the reader a list of works of the flesh. You know, there are those better I would study the Bible for many years, and they place these into four different categories. They're central, not like sinner, but central sins, religious sins, interpersonal sins, and social sins. So, and it's in the Bible, and I have to kind of go over them, but adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness, right? These are all central sins relating to sex. Awkward, right? I mean, I don't know. It have to be. No, it should be because it's in the Bible and we need to talk about certain things because, you know, things, you know, the world today. And often we get appalled and shocked with today's sexual immorality, right? And it, you may even think, well, if Paul only knew how bad it's going to get, he'd be rolling over in his grave. You know, however, historians have told us that the Greco-Roman world was very sick, twisted, in sheer chaos. You know, this isn't coming from Christian historians. These are coming from non-believers that were disgusted about the unspeakable acts that were going on back in that day. You know, unfortunately, humans have been sinning for a long time. And they know how to sin in every way possible. Now, adultery, if you guys don't know, that's when you break the covenant, the marriage covenant, right? And then it's an act of sexual immorality between somebody who's not you're not married to. Yes?
Is it only sexual or is it like emotional too?
I think that I'd probably throw in a different category here as far as what I believe Paul is talking about. It is the actual sexual act. As far as emotional, are you talking about like a pen pal? I mean, that's very lightly termed, but like a pen pal, oh, and then you're not. Is that cheating on somebody if you're like leading somebody on? Is that what you're talking about or? I would think so. I mean, it's so hard as far as when you say a close relationship, you know.
Because, like, I know they may not be dating, but I think there's, like, relationships that are, like, too close. And then.
That is a tricky line to pull. Because, you know, I mean, there is. I mean, if you're just friends, not. I mean, when you throw that word dating in there, I think that throws a whole nother. Another world in there is like dating. No, that's cheating. But if they're just really best friends.
Obviously, you can like be friends with people and be very close to people, but like sometimes there are friendships that are too close to dating.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think that it would be, it would depend on this. Each situation is different. You know, because there are some. I never really experienced it, but, you know, I mean, there are some with opposite sex, and they're best friends for life, and that's all they are, is just friends, but, you know. So I think that's fine, but it is also, I would feel kind of rare. It's hard to be best friends with opposite sex and not have something there sometimes. I don't know. Like I said, I've never experienced it, so I think that's a by each basis. I don't know if that helped, but it is what Paul is talking about is the actual cheating, you know, straight up cheating, no questions. Now, adultery is not in some of the ancient manuscripts of the New Testament. And this is why in some translations, if we had the NIV version up there, adultery wouldn't be on that list. Now, that doesn't say, oh, well, the NIV people, it's fine to be adulterous. No, it's not saying that. Because the very next word is fornication. And in fornication, it kind of covers a lot. Fornication. It's a very widely spread word, and it's a sexual act. It's having sex with somebody or something you shouldn't be having sex with. And this would include sex before in outside of marriage. So, I mean, it is very, there's a lot there. And, yeah. There's a lot of details. So obviously this would be including adultery, and we all know adultery is bad. So, you know, some translations might have it, and some translators might be saying, oh, why am I writing two words when one word covers it, I feel? Or maybe the translators what have adultery, you know, they're just saying, you know, I want a little bit more detail, saying that, you know, God really is protective over the marriage vows. You know, the main thing, though, is that I don't think it changes. Because adultery's in that same list, whether it has it or if it's under fornication. So I don't think it changes the message. You know, it's not changing anything. It's not, you know, either way, it's not changing. Now, the next one is uncleanness. Now, obviously, if we look at this list, we're not talking about showers, right? It's good to have showers, guys, because ladies like to smell good, but it's not talking about showers. You know, uncleanness is the opposite of being pure. You know, this would include a lot of different acts. But, say, we'll give examples. As far as like dirty jokes would be unclean. You know, suggestive or impure talk. You know, those are in that unclean version. So then there's a lot is, or even watching something, you know, being unclean. And then the next one we get to is lewdness. And lewdness, it goes along with all the rest, but what lewdness really means, if somebody's being lewd, is that they don't have any sense of shame. You know, they're not embarrassed about what they're doing, about their sexual immorality. It's still about the sexual immorality, but they could be public and they're just fine with it. You know, they don't have that sense that, oh, well, I am doing bad and I should try to keep this in the shadows, which isn't right, but being open with it and having that audacity to like, oh, no, I'm fine. This is who I am. You know, that's lewdness. And if you guys can jump in, and if you want to, if something else, an example that you guys know of, but we're on to idolatry and sorcery. Now, these are obviously about religious sins. Now, idolatry, we know, is worshiping, right? Anything other than the Lord is not okay. You know, Lord, our Savior, our, you know, God, Jesus, you know, anything else. I mean, in the olden days, yeah, I mean, actually, Paul for sure would have been talking about all these other fake gods or just wooden idols. But it also comes in a whole bunch of different forms. I mean, it could come in money that has numbers on it, right? Like our dollars. You know, people worship that. Maybe devices where you could text your BFF. Maybe people worship that. No? Okay.
No, no way.
No. So, idolatry. You know, it's that putting something first other than God. You know, putting something else first. Now, sorcery, you know, obviously, wizards and sorcery, magic, right? That's what our minds go to. It's believing in, or having belief in the beliefs of a cult. You know, back in the day, sorcery went hand in hand with drugs. Paul actually would use the word pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. So even in the ancient world, they might not have been using, you know, man-made chemicals or chemicals we're using or others are using today, but they still had hallucinogenic drugs and mind-altering drugs back then. But it all go in hand with that sorcery. You know, again, trying to a power or sensing, trying to get power or that power what did not come from God or does not have anything what glorified God. They would be praying to a lot of different things and probably more likely other demons. So this is all going with sorcery. Now we get to our interpersonal sins, right? Hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, self-ambition, dissension, heresy, envy. Now, hatred is, you know, our attitude of our heart, right? But it expresses, it's in our heart, but it expresses in our action. You know, hate, you know, you never really produce from hate. It just creates, but it does create more hate, but it's a labored hate. You know, I mean, when you hate, it's taxing and it's wearing. It wears you out, but it drives you. Hi. Yes.
Okay. So there's a movie called Princess Mononoke, and I feel like the theme of that is basically that, because I don't want to like go into like the whole movie, but like they like kind of like personified hate as like a demon that was like able to like take over like people and like animals and stuff.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's a little creepy and a little scary, but I really like it because I think with like stuff like that, when you like personify it and make it like look ugly and gross, I think it like makes you realize how like ugly hate is even more when it's like shown that way.
Right. No, it kind of gives a face to it, or, yeah. You know, it's not just emotion.
Watch it. It's PG-13.
What is it?
Princess Mononoke.
Probably Princess Mononoke.
It's a weird spelling, but it's really, really good.
It sounds interesting, you know, because it does, and hate is very ugly. Our hatred is very ugly. You know, and there is kind of a difference, but hatred is that unwilling, you know, that unsatisfied feeling of that you just cannot stand this other thing. You know, it's like a fire in the forest. You know, if it's unchecked, unguarded, you know, it'll just burn everything down. It just destroy and tear everything down. Now, contentiousness. Anybody got that? You guys use that word all the time, right? It's a hip word. Yo-yo. Right? Mm-hmm. Contentiousness. Nobody has a clue what that means? Okay, so would you skip it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. It's about you're always ready for argument. Anybody know anybody who's always ready for an argument? Is that yes, I am? You know, you're always ready for an argument because you're always on the defensive. Now, you can say, well, what if you're defending God? You know, I mean, we're talking bad things, right? We're talking that you just, like, you're sitting there, you're brewing. You're like, oh, I just wish somebody would say hi so I could yell at him. Right? That's contentiousness. That's lawn to the T, right?
I think Elena, she's like that, but like I feel like in like a good way. She's very knowledgeable, so if someone says something wrong, she's at the ready to say something about it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's different.
She enjoys arguing.
Yeah, and Michelle's exactly right. It's how you say it. Now, if you said, boy, what are you full of air? Your head, you know, this is how it should be, right? The ant has 7 legs. Come on.
What?
What? Are you biting your lip? Sorry. I digress. There is a difference. It is exactly how you say it or how your attitude is when you say it. You know, when you come across, it's like, now, jealousy, we all know jealousy, right? It's that desire that you're not grateful what you have. It's that you want what somebody else has. Now, the outbursts of wrath. That one's an easy one, right? Easy to have? Mm-hmm. Only living with me. Huh?
And easy to point out.
It's easy to point out. So what example, what? Can't use Lana again. You already used her once.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have this.
Why? Right? You know, short fuse. Have you ever heard that term? Short fuse. Lose their temper really easy on little things. You know, no, Mom, I don't want to take out the trash. Right? Everything's pushing your button. Nobody would say that. I'm sorry. That's outrageous.
That's too far,
Gary. That's too far. Self-ambition. What can that explain? How can, you know,
doing stuff only for yourself, for your own personal gain, and not thinking about anyone else.
Yeah. I could explain more, but what it's in it for me.
That was so funny. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's a great example here.
Right. I thank you. But you do look out for some people. You look out for 3 people. Me, myself, and I, right? You guys heard that before?
It's a song.
Oh, is it?
It's a bad song, but it's
oh, sorry.
It's fine.
I didn't know. Dissension. Dissension. Not dimensions. Dissension. No. Do they not use other words in English letter?
Where, you know what it means.
You know what it means? Or does Siri know what it means?
No, it's Google.
Oh, sorry, Google.
A disagreement that leads to discord.
Right. So what it is dissension. It's talking about that you don't play well with others. You're not a team player. You're not that team sport. You want to be, you know, it's all about you. In other words, in some cases, you, instead of working well or working together, you tear people apart. You know, you tear things apart. Now, heresy. Now, that one's kind of a hard one, right? And it's gone through different things. In the Inquisition, heresy would point out that people who don't believe or believe other things against the will of God. But I believe it's a little bit more simple. I don't know if that's not simple, but I don't know. I think that's part of it, but I think they took it to mean that, where it's more about... I could keep going? Okay, thank you. It's a very strong stance. You know, it's believing. You know, like if we believe, it's with everything we got, right? It's like, you know, it's our whole heart we're believing. And it's talking about that belief. You know, it's about the unmovable belief. I'll let you share in one second. The unmovable belief that saying that, well, I don't know if I'm right, but I definitely know you're wrong. That's kind of heresy. Yes?
Opinion profoundly at odds with what is generally accepted. Or belief or opinion contrary to orthodox religions, especially Christian doctrine.
Right. So, I mean, but I think that's where it's gotten to be. But in Paul, I believe that's what he's trying to say. It's, you know, it's that unwillingness to change your mind. You know, it is about believing something that's wrong, but then you get into that question, is like, whoa, I mean, are we talking about God? Or are we talking about the rules of the land? Or, you know, I mean, so there's heresy where it's just that you're not willing to compromise, you're not willing to accept that, well, maybe I'm wrong. It's like, no, they're wrong. I might not be right, but they're wrong. I know it. Right.
Paganism is also.
Yeah, you know, I mean, pagan. You know, I mean, if you're pagan, you're not believing in God. And I think, that's a bunny trail.
Yeah.
That's a bunny trail. That's a bunny trail. Don't follow it, squirrel. You know. All right. So we're to envy. Now, in envy, it's hard because sometimes I'll forget, and, you know, envy is much like jealousy, and you're thinking, well, it's the same thing, right? Envy and jealousy, but it's a little bit different. You know, there's more to it. It's not necessarily wanting what somebody has. It's being bitter because somebody has something you want, or something good happens to somebody. You know, oh, they get a trophy? I want a trophy. You know, it's that bitterness. It's not that you want their trophy. It's just like you're mad that they got a trophy. That make sense? Now we're on to the next section. Murder, drunkenness, and revelry. Social things. Something you shouldn't do in public, right? Social things. Sorry. Murder is like adultery, not That it's exactly like adultery. It's like adultery because it's not in all the ancient texts. So again, in translations like the NIV, they won't have murder on the list. But I feel very strongly that we'd all agree murder is not a good thing, right?
Yep.
It's not a good thing. And it's definitely works of the flesh, isn't it? It's definitely works of the flesh. That I can't even really comprehend. And I mean, we've seen it in news, and it gets you, makes you have hatred because you don't understand the hatred of somebody. What it gets to that point where it would take an innocent life. You know, I don't understand that uncontrolledness that some people had or have. And I don't know. I don't even know what to explain. You know, it's sad. Now, again, there's a whole bunny trail as far as murder versus self-defense, and there is a difference. Now, then we get to drunkenness. Now, drunkenness is being impaired. Now, I've seen less than others. However, I've seen a lot of, we'll say, not smart decisions because of drinking. Things that not only hurt the person doing the act, but also hurt others. I've seen arguments, I've seen fights, I've seen loss of families, even loss of life. You know, it never starts out saying, oh, I want to become somebody what's dependent on drinking. I want to become a drunk. It never starts out like that. It always starts out, oh, that will never happen to me. You know, I do know drunkenness, and I would almost even say drunkenness, this would also go with drugs, being impaired. And today, I know there's a lot of pressure, especially your teenagers. There's a lot, and I'm sure you know people, or you might even have done. But, you know, I know there's a lot of pressure, and there are some bad things what can come of it. I mean, there are people what could handle things, but nobody has ever, or how do I say this, unless you're being forced, but you can't become drunk unless you take a drink. Now, revelry. Revelry is not just a birthday parties. You know, you're not just, woo, cake. Again, it's, there are those. I mean, revelry, some people will just say, oh, well, that's a partier or something. But it's the parties what have no boundaries. You know, anything goes, anything and everything goes. There's no moral compass there. They're just doing whatever their hearts desire, and they just keep doing that. Now, Paul doesn't have enough paper to list everything that are the works of the flesh. So he ends it, how does he end it? He ends it with, in the light. Meaning, you know, we know all these things. It's very clear. We've been, everybody, you all, even if you haven't been told some of these things, you know we shouldn't be doing these things. You know, they're not things we should be doing. But maybe you're thinking, oh, well, Paul didn't list this, so I guess it's okay. Right? You know if it's wrong, you know, and if you have to think, well, I don't know if it's wrong, should I do it? Just don't do it. If you have to ponder that, maybe that's God telling you, hey, you know, maybe that's him questioning it. Now, what are the stakes? And what do I mean by what are the stakes? Anybody? No?
Nope.
No, I said no, like K, you know.
Oh.
Not no, like no, you can't answer. Consequences, right. What are the stakes? So what are the stakes?
These who, and that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
So no big deal. It's only everlasting life, right? Nah, that's the only thing at stake. Now we have all fell short, right? Let's just say it. We've all fell short. And maybe we've done hopefully just a few things on that list, or maybe a lot. I don't know. I'm sure it's a few things. You guys are good kids. But they're on that list, right? It's not one and done. It's not, oh, three strikes and you're out. You know, the person who is in danger are those ones who refuse to change. They refuse, they want to stay there. They don't want to get to that realization, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You know, those are the ones who will not humble themselves and ask for forgiveness. Those are the ones who are in danger. You know, I mean, Paul's gone over this again and again. And it should be clear, but I know we all fall short. I fall short. You know, but it's that not wanting just to remain in sin, but get better, right? To have Jesus guide us. In Galatians 5, 22 through 26, Lana? So notice the fruit of the Spirit. Paul doesn't say the works of the Spirit. Because a tree doesn't labor to make fruit. I mean, you could argue that, but he doesn't labor, he follows the sun. Right? It just happens. He doesn't sweat. He's not breaking out tools. You know, fruit reproduces itself. It's attractive to the eye, and it also nourishes. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I wasn't sure. I didn't feel like we could go through a whole list again. But, I mean, those are all good things, right? And they all give us joy. You know, when we're, I mean, it could be the simplest thing is if we just smile at somebody, if they smile back, it warms the heart, right? You guys felt that before, haven't you? You know, but it's just like the works. You know, we could see that it's a clear list of things people do and they're trying to find happiness. Everything on that list, they're trying to find happiness, but they're looking in the wrong place, right? They might find happiness for a moment, but they'll never have that lasting, everlasting moment of happiness. Now, the fruit of Spirit, you know, walking in the fruit of Spirit is a way we could remain joyful. Not saying there anything's bad not don't happen to you, but you remain joyful. You know it's nice just knowing that you do the right thing. You know, there's two paths. And there's happiness with Jesus, without Jesus, sorry. Just screwed up this whole bit. Happiness without Jesus and happiness with Jesus. Without, with, right? Now, which path do we choose to walk? Delanda, do you want to close this in prayer?